The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
710 AM and 105.7 FM, The Word, welcome you to Pastor with our guest host, Pastor Francis Anfuso, as he talks heart-to-heart with pastors and ministry leaders. Learn what God is doing in our churches and communities, testimonies, areas of challenge, opportunity, transformation, and the exciting hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, here's Pastor Francis with today's guest.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. So glad you're with us today. I am really excited about today. It's going to be a moving conversation. You know, sometimes the topics are a bit lighter. Other times they tend to be a bit more serious. And this is a topic that's been deep for me. It is deep for my guest today, Dave Novak from Streamline Church. Hello, my friend. It's so good to see you.
Yes.
To meet you. When I got to watch your video and heard your story, I was very moved and grateful for the grace of God in your life and my life. But we're going to touch an issue that I know is incredibly prevalent. Many of you who are listening have battled with this. I certainly have had enough conversations with people over the years to know that parent issues are real.
Yeah.
And I would say dad issues perhaps still are winning, unfortunately, the horse race between moms and dads. But even now, I believe because of a lot of the dad issues, a lot of women and men have issues with their mom. And so in groups, I have found that there's almost as many mom issues. But this wonderful man is a pastor in town, and yet his dad was a pastor. And he's going to share his story. I'm going to just turn him loose here to share about his journey, his dad's journey. And would you welcome Dave Novak? Hi, buddy.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I am a PK, and I grew up here in Sacramento, and I am a home boy. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in ministry. My dad pastored what was called Neighborhood Outreach Fellowship downtown Sacramento for about 20 years. He started in, I think it was 81. He started the church, and it was when downtown in the area we was in, it was very ghetto. It was drug-infested gangs. I mean, it was all of the above. And so I was raised in that somewhat. Wow. And, in that environment, though, we didn't live downtown. Our ministry and what we did was downtown. So I was raised in that.
Right.
And then fast forward, you know, I didn't want to be in ministry. I didn't want to be a pastor.
Faithful to the PK calling.
Yeah, I know, man. And
it's a tough deal.
Yeah, and then people automatically say, oh, man, I think you're called. I'm like, no, you're just saying that because I'm the pastor's kid, you know. And I didn't want to go into pastoring. Part of it had to do with the conflict and the tension I had with my dad. I just didn't want to be that.
Yeah.
And so, lo and behold, down the road, the Lord calls me into ministry. I was a youth pastor for 7 years, and then God called me to start a church. So not only was I pastoring, I was church planting like my dad as well. And so we started Streamline Church in 2008.
Oh, wow.
And my wife Lori and I, and we have been going for 14 and a half years.
Wow.
And yeah, I can't believe it. And so God's been good and faithful, and we've seen some great things happen. And I have a book that is coming out here in August, and it's about dad issues. And it over the years, especially in my 20s and 30s, I would say starting in my teens, really tough. There wasn't just a lot of affection or things like that between my dad and I.
Right.
And then things just got more tense as I became my own man, if you would say.
Right.
You know, and but the things that I was missing and things were just kind of coming to the surface to where we had a really, really tough relationship. And here we were both pastors.
Right. Yeah.
And so that was always awkward. And, you know, so earlier in those years, it was the ups and downs of me emotionally and trying to figure out, navigate through life. And I just couldn't let a lot of things go. And, but then when I got older, he passed away in February of 2021. Mm. There was a healing process that took place over the years. Smart. That when he passed away, I knew he, I was in a good place. Wow. We were in a good place. Mm-hmm. And there was healing that had really transpired between us.
Amazing. And that really is, I mean, I've ministered a lot because that was my issue. I've ministered a lot to people who have father issues. Sometimes their dad's gone.
Yeah.
And they can't begin to repair anything, as my dad was. I've had to only deal with his memory.
Mm.
But the fact that you had that time. So how many, I know it was a gradual process.
Yeah.
So how did that healing process begin?
So there was a point where it was hard because I had to, you know, we ran in the same circles of ministers, right, and that kind of thing. So it was always kind of weird. Hey, tell your dad I said hi. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I've talked to him in a while, but okay. I mean, there's just weird, you know,
awkward. Yeah.
Only if you're a pastor or minister, right, you would understand that.
Right.
And so we had that for a while, and there were some tough seasons for us.
Yeah.
And it was in a moment that I was actually in a seminar. And there it was for ministers, and a scene was being portrayed between a pastor and his son and the conflict and the whole blowout and everything going on.
Mm.
And one of the speakers was explaining just kind of how to improve that, tweak that, and, you know, this is real, it happens. And the whole time I'm in the service, I'm looking for my dad, hoping he's in there because he needs to change.
And, the irony of life.
Yeah, right? And but long story short, in that session is where God got a hold of me.
Wow.
God spoke to me really clear.
That's great.
He's not here.
Yeah,
because I want you to change.
Just so people have a background, give me a background first of all on your dad's dad, if you can.
Yeah,
and then segue to your dad. Give a history there of how what you inherited, if you will.
Yeah, and that is the real tough thing, the maturity process for me as I got older, understanding that. My dad's dad wasn't around. He was, my dad tried to be in touch with him somewhat, I believe, and but he, my dad didn't live with him beyond, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old, something like that. And my grandpa, who I never met, was married 7 times.
Wow.
He chased women. It was booze. It was all of that. And so whenever my dad got exposed, I was trying to be like dad somewhat.
Hmm.
And then my dad was gotten a lot of trouble with growing up and, you know, just kind of being reckless as a teenager with no dad. And so he ruined a lot of relationships. His mom, my grandmother, had married a couple of times. So my dad was beat. He never had a father figure who showed him love. He was beat extensively. I mean, it was horrible what happened. And then he would be shipped off to an uncle who that uncle would beat him. And then eventually my dad was just so out of control. My grandmother dropped my dad off on Skid Row in LA and said, this is where you belong. At 15.
At 15.
And from then on, he had to do what he needed to do to survive. He was in gangs. He was in, I mean, everything. So he was, ran a hard life, and he was about 13 years in and out of prison.
Wow.
And so my dad had, I mean, from armed robberies to heroin addict, everything. And then he got radically saved.
So when you were born, was he a Christian?
Yeah. So I only knew the pastor, Bobby Novak.
Right.
So my dad... as I was getting older, my dad was doing prison ministries. He was speaking in federal penitentiaries.
Wow.
And state penitentiaries, some that he was locked up in, and
right.
He was doing that. And then he started the church. So I only knew my dad, the minister.
Right.
Therefore, I didn't understand what the history was. I only knew, like, you're a pastor. You're supposed to have everything together.
Right.
Not knowing what he came from.
Right.
So that was really tough.
And so how did... Obviously, you saw that play and it ministered to you. How did you then begin to build a relationship with your dad?
So it really came to where I took responsibility for the relationship from my end, to where I was okay with not getting approval from my dad. Mm-hmm. I was okay with not getting my needs met from my dad, really, because there had been such a radical change in my heart to where God really, it was a powerful supernatural thing to where God made it clear, I'm your source now, you don't need that. And so upon that, now it was like, it's up to you now to start doing what you need to do. So in a weird way.
Now, you're 46. How old were you when that happened?
It was in about 2003, so 19 years ago.
And so you would have been 27.
Yeah. And that's when the responsibility of, in the book, and I mentioned this, what I think is probably the biggest lie is that our dad issues are our dad's issues.
That's a great sentence.
That it's him, and if he would fix him, we would be good.
That's good.
When I realize my dad issues, the issues between me and my dad are my issues, and that's what I need to work on. And so trying to be the best son to honor the Lord, seeing myself as like, if I'm going to take responsibility, I'm going to try and lead this relationship now. Not that I would be commanding or whatever, right, but like, I'm going to do what I need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. God didn't talk to him the way he talked to me. God didn't give him the revelation he gave me. He gave it to me. And I needed to be obedient to that. And I think, not that I was the great guy, superhero, or didn't have shortcomings, sure, but it was like, God had shown me a light and I needed to move towards that.
So gradually you began to reach out toward him. Just give me examples of that. How would you do that?
So, man, those are great questions. so we would be in, there'd be seasons where maybe we weren't talking, we just stayed away from each other. There'd be seasons to where we're together all the time. I got kids, you know, his grandkids, and but there would be conflicts that would come up, and then you just tension could come back easily. And I had to learn some things about myself and my dad to be able to say, there are some hot button issues that I need to stay away from. There are some feelings that I can see that come back, and I need to, I need to manage it. And a lot of it was, I think, I don't want to say damage control, but it was really managing a relationship to where it's like, let's keep this pleasant.
Yeah, you weren't going to throw gasoline on the fire. You're going to throw water on the fire.
And sometimes I wanted to throw gasoline, and maybe sometimes I did a little bit. But
and you saw how fruitless that was, and so you,
I know, so you stopped. And so, you know, there was. I was the one that initiated saying I love you to my dad. Oh. I was the one that,
what was that
gave
like?
Him hugs.
When you said that, how would he respond?
It was awkward for both of us.
It was awkward, but the words came out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Would he say anything or just nod?
It would be a nod. It would be because he didn't get it from his dad.
I get it.
Yeah. And so for me, it was weird, but that was where I felt like, take responsibility. Yeah. Is this a relationship?
I love you, Dad. He nods for a while. Did that ever change?
Yeah, he would eventually down the road say, I love you, especially the night before he passed.
Oh.
We were there in the emergency and we knew he didn't have time. He had a bad heart attack.
Oh.
And he was holding my hand and he was able to just say, I love you.
Oh, you
know, it was pretty powerful.
Buddy, listen, we are eternal spirit beings having a very temporary natural experience.
Yeah. Yes.
We will see our dads again. You'll see your dad again. But to have that closure, you know, it was there, bottled up in some back corner of his life.
Yeah.
He loved you. I mean, right? Inside,
yeah.
He just didn't know how to show it or whatever. Well, obviously, there's people who are going to need this book, No More Dad Issues.
Yes.
What would you say, either for someone personally or someone that perhaps they know, maybe to get that for them as a gift? It's coming out in August. It'd be a great Christmas gift.
Sure.
What is this book going to do for people? How is it going to help them?
My hope would be, because I include questions at the end of each chapter, mm-hmm. is to be able to help all of us reflect and look at our dad issues and how we're carrying them. How do we want to get past it? Do we want to get past it? To really think about that, right. And then as I share my journey of healing, mm-hmm. that it would somehow, what God has done in my life would be able to, that they would be able to experience it and see that happening for themselves. I've had some beta readers, if you will, check it out and read it a little bit. And one guy who just had dad issues, he said, I started reading the book and right away all of the, I knew exactly what you were talking about when you mentioned. And so he said it was hard, but it was hard in a good way. It was bringing it back and like now what to do with it. It's kind of cleaning out the closet.
You know, again, even, again, I was a pastor for 21 years. And I remember my wife, I've got daughters who are 45, identical twins. My wife had mentioned the girls were going for counseling. I said, why were they going for counseling? And she said, well, they had some performance issues. You know, I said, performance issues.
Wow, yeah.
And so, you know, I've obviously we've talked about it together.
Yeah.
And now we kid about it. But, you know, it was real. I mean, I was inadvertently, some of the things my dad thrust on me unsuccessfully, even though I died at 17, when I was 17, I was superimposing on them. So you are married, right?
Yes.
And you have kids?
Yeah, I do. I have Titus. My son is 17, and my daughter is Leah. She is 19.
Oh.
And
how's it going?
Well, I'm just like you. I have... you know, this history, you know, we call them generational curses when really it's, you know, it's kind of a generation model now. I'm choosing what am I going to model?
Exactly.
And I have just seen, and everybody does, oh man, my mom did that and here I go, or my dad did that. And to where, in my book, in the last chapter, close to the last chapter, I just talk about the things that I'm changing.
Beautiful.
That I need to change because it's really like, it's not just like feeling better about me and my dad. Now it's like, we've cleaned this out. Please don't let me pass this on.
Absolutely. And you have now two children.
Yes.
That you're going to develop a relationship with. Again, I've got a great relationship with my daughters.
Yes.
But, you know, they did not have a perfect dad. One of my daughters, you know, speaks to large crowds. And so she was introducing me one day to them. And, this sentence says, she said, my dad had a lot of hurts in his childhood, but was able to overcome them. And that was, you know, that was the sentence that she saw. And I mean, it makes me emotional even saying it now.
Yeah.
It was, you know, we didn't have perfect childhoods, but we're not passing that on. Now, ironically, again, my daughters are your age. So they're 44, 45 in November. And basically, they're my mentors in a couple of different levels. So don't be surprised if your son and daughter...
Yeah.
As you get older and the world continues to change at light speed, you're going to need them to help in various areas. And so that really is a privilege, really. You broke the curse, really. It's now, and you were able to see a healing with your dad.
Yeah.
And now with your kids, you're going to be able to raise them up and be a grandpa one day to their children, et cetera. So in terms of getting the book, Streamline Church, Dave Novak, how would people get that book from you?
It'll be on anywhere where a book is sold.
Okay.
You know, so Amazon is usually the first place people check, but it'll be there.
So then, no more dad issues. Mm-hmm. Tremendous thing. Fire a volley for someone right now who's listening, and they're going, I don't know if I want to I don't want to deal with this. It's like, you know, someone has a sore, and it's open, and it oozes, and it's painful to touch.
Yeah.
How would you encourage them to perhaps read this book or focus on that area to be healed? What blessing, what benefit has it brought in your life to focus on it?
Yeah, I would say this. You know what? I didn't want to work at it either. I didn't want to look at it. I didn't want to have to take responsibility for things that I felt like they weren't mine. But I knew if I wanted to heal that it's like, okay, I don't want to walk like this forever. And I knew, and I would say to that person, you've got to... kill it because it's killing you. And if you want to have a healthy life, a healthy family home, healthy relationships, because it's bleeding in areas you don't see. If you want to have a healthy quality life, your fatherhood, father's impact is so much.
Absolutely.
That see the value in saying, look, I'm going to go ahead and open my soul up and allow the Lord to really minister to me. And here's the thing that's different than any dad issue book that I know of. They give you principles. They tell you about the character of God, but there isn't someone walking through and just being vulnerable and saying, this is what God did. Would you walk with me?
And if you have that, in a sense, backstage pass of vulnerability and an ability to communicate, you have a gene that they don't possess. They don't have a way to get there. It's like they're locked out of that chamber.
Yeah.
And so you were able to step into it, but it took courage.
Mm-hmm.
And now think of the generations you're going to help. Even your story.
I mean, yeah.
You didn't become just this little embittered, you know, kid
yeah.
who became a casualty PK
yeah.
and went into rebellion and deception. I got a text this morning from a mother whose daughter is 18, and I was her pastor, and man, I tried to help. As a matter of fact, I even took time. Her father's been imprisoned for a while, and so I spent a couple years ago a number of weeks via Zoom going through the Father Wounds book with this girl.
Mm.
But now, unfortunately, you know, her mother texted me today. She's really not doing well. So the fact that you were able to get free from that,
yeah.
and really your dad getting free. If your dad hadn't gotten free, the baton you got would have been a lot worse than that.
So. He had the grit. He was grinding it out, and now I get to stand on his shoulders.
Absolutely.
And, you know, now my dad wants me, I know my dad would want me to be a better man, and that's my goal.
You know, I was able to use my hurts and pains. One of the sentences that I've said over the years that I really believe, my pain leads to my passion, which then leads to my purpose. And so you now have a passion for people who are fatherless, who are wounded. Tragically, it's not going away.
Right.
This issue is only getting more prevalent in our dysfunctional culture. And so I'm sure in your church, Streamline Church, 44th Street in Sacramento, Pastor Dave Novak, I'm sure you are ministering. You are youthful, healthy-looking, you know, great heart, you know, tender-hearted man, but a strong man and willing to love people. I'm sure you share within that context all the time.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. We just want to be, I just like being transparent and honest about life and walking with people through it. And especially we like to reach unchurched people and de-church, those who have just been kind of, they've fallen away or they've walked away.
Yeah.
And to just be able to, hey, let's just walk this journey together.
Well, again, there's no shortage in either area. But Dave, you know, you're part of, it makes me very excited, Candlelight, because you're always looking for the next wave coming over the hill. You know, you're like reinforcements that are coming. Even though I've stepped down and not doing what I once did, it is very heartening to meet you, my friend, and to know that you're part of that baton pass. You know, you're part of the baton pass. Where there's another generation, you know, the hearts of the fathers being restored to their children and the children to the fathers. Lest I destroy the world with a curse, you know, the curse continue. You're breaking the curse of fatherlessness. I'd love if you wouldn't just mind taking a few moments and just pray for someone listening. Maybe they're going, man, I'm not sure I can do this. I listened, but, you know, help me to be able to step up to want to focus on this. Would you pray for them right
now? Yeah, definitely. Lord, you are so kind and good and merciful to us and compassionate, Lord. You know what we feel. You know the heaviness that we carry. And Father, I just pray for the wounded out there, Lord, like myself and just as one who's still continuing to get healthy and whole. Lord, I pray for those who are just wrestling and they're frustrated and they're upset and still carrying that tension. Lord, that even in a place of not wanting to work through and not liking this and whatever is there, God, Lord, would you just give them a peace in your spirit right now? Lord, that we can relax in you because you are the Heavenly Father. You are the perfect Father. And Lord, you will fill us, Lord, with every good thing we really truly desire. And Lord, I pray that there would be an openness, Lord, for your spirit to go to work in us, God, in our hearts. And Lord, be able to bring the wounds and the scars to bring them to the table. And then just, Lord, allow you to touch them and heal them because you are faithful and that is who you are.
Yes.
And so, Father, may we come boldly to the throne of grace.
Amen.
Lord, knowing that we will receive, Lord, what we need from you, Lord, because you know every part of us in our being. And so, Lord, you know the stories. Lord, may we hear some stories of transformation.
Yes, Lord,
better families, better kids, better marriages, God, because people have been willing, Lord, to just uncover things, Lord, for you to go to work in their lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, buddy. That was excellent. Incredible. You know, thank you again for coming today. Again,
absolutely.
The book is No More Dad Issues, coming out in August. You can get it where books are sold. Dave Novak, pastor of Streamline Church. I encourage you, check out the church, Dave at streamlinechurch.com or streamlinechurch.com.
Yeah.
Check it out. And so God bless you, Dave. We'll meet again, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for being here today. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed Pastor to Pastor with our guest host, Pastor Francis Anfuso. If you'd like more information about today's guest, go to thewordsacramento.com under the Programs tab to learn more about our Church of the Week or call us at 916-924-0710. We appreciate all area pastors and leaders for their selfless commitment to God and our region. Join us next week for another glimpse into God's wonderful and expansive church on Pastor to Pastor.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.